Here, there's no words, it's just a video with music. So if you can't see, please come closer. I will play it on this tablet. This was a video from one of the conferences when I went to America, and it's really touching, and it really helped me look at things in a different way. So because the lesson is also related, I will play the video first and then we can go with the lesson. Okay, whoever can't see, I will...
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry I made you go from laughing to crying. This video was shown during a conference where I went to America, and it was really tough. It was really tough to watch because you get excited, right? You get excited and you feel like, oh, this is our purpose and this is our chance, and we have this one chance, and if we lose it, look what we're missing. And I know a lot of you at first were excited, and I saw people clapping, people being happy, but then we're like, oh, why didn't he go for it, right? And look all the things that he lost going for it. And some of you might be looking back at your life and saying, oh, I had so many chances to influence this person, or to help out this person, or to show the word of God to this person, and I missed out. And you might be feeling sad, and that's the point. And you must feel sad. Not be hard on yourselves, but be sad. Because we have a cure, and it's our job to take this cure to everyone that we see, right? And I want this video, or this message, or this whatever you felt through the video, to fuel you to become fishers of men. Right? Jesus came and he called people to be fishers of men. Now think about fishing, okay? There's many different types of fishing, right? People fish with a pole. People fish with a pole. People fish with a net. Some people, use different techniques. And if you're as crazy as Homer Simpson, you might even electrocute the fish, right? You might want to cheat and do it that way. So there are different ways of fishing. And in the same way, fishing for men is also so many different ways. I mean, we can see some people who like to go on the streets and evangelize and talk to people, right? We can see some people who like to invite people to their house. We like to see people that do activities, go to sports. And we like to see people that like to get close with people and build relationships and then tell them about the Word of God. And it's all different kinds of ways of fishing for men, right? And there's no right way, there's no wrong way. Jesus came and said, be fishers of men. Do it the way you want. Be fishers of men. And I read this verse in Romans 12:6-8, and it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encourage, then encourage. Give, give. Okay? So everyone has a certain gift, basically, what God is telling us, right? And some people have the gift of evangelizing. Now, this is especially true for my friend in Lebanon. It's a sister. Her name is Daniela. And this sister was incredible in evangelizing. Everywhere we go, she would talk to people and invite them to Bible talk, invite them to church. And we would be together and she'd be like, Nareg, that guy looks cool, invite him to church. And she was fearless and she was very bold and she was very much a people person who had no fear of preaching the God's word. And she really inspires me. Now, I look at her and I say, she has the talent of evangelism. And she has this gift that God is talking about. But just because we don't have this gift doesn't mean we shouldn't evangelize. Just because we don't have the gift of encouraging doesn't mean we should encourage. Just because we don't have this gift doesn't mean you can't do it. Just means maybe it's a bit harder for you. And you still have to do it. Right? I mean, if we want to think that we don't have this gift, then some of us might feel, well, we would be like Moses, and we would be like, God, I don't know how to talk, right? I don't know how to do this. I wasn't born for this. The people might not listen to me. We start to have these doubts. But if all these talents you don't have, there's one thing, regardless of you have it or not, you can do. And that's, show God's light through your life. You don't need a talent. You don't need to do anything. You just need to live as a follower of Jesus. Right? And this should be the most basic form of evangelism that every one of us can do. And it would be the most effective, because people will see that you are not a hypocrite and that you represent one of the people of God. And look what this verse says, and we read this before, and it says, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives lights to everyone in the house." See, what is this light that it's talking about here? It's not your light. It's God's light. Right? It's not saying, go and do good things because you are a good person. No, it's saying the love that God has given you, it would shine through you and people will see that light. So if we are filled with God, if we are in love with God, if God's love is in us, there's no way people will not see God through us. Now think about your everyday life. Some of us are in university, like myself. Some of the teens who get baptized are in school. In your work, there's so much opportunity to show God's light through our lives. I mean, I know it's extremely difficult. I know when I was at work, you get pressured by the atmosphere of the work. You get pressured to be like everyone else. You get pressured to lie. You get pressured, I don't know, to be dishonest. You get pressured to join the bad jokes with everyone else. But if you can resist the pattern of the world and you can let God's Spirit remain in you and show, people will see something different in you. And they will ask what it is. Why are you so different? I know some people here before talked about this and they said, what makes you so different? Why are you so nice to me? And that is the moment that you can tell people about God. You say, God changed my life. I wasn't this person before. If you see me 5, 8, 10 years ago, whatever your disciple years are, you would say, I was a different person. I mean, I know from myself, I used to get drunk. I never did drugs, but I used to get drunk. I used to do a lot of bad things. I used to go out with all the girls in the class and university. I was this kind of guy. I was very prideful. I was outgoing. And I had a certain quality in me that said to people, this guy, we shouldn't hang out with him. We shouldn't spend time with him. And he's a bad influence. But this is the reason I can say God changed me. And yeah, some people might mock you and say, what are you, a saint? What are you, a priest? What are you? And you would say, if you want to call me a saint, that's not bad. I want to be a saint. And I am a saint, yeah. So, it's not bad. It might be different than what the world thinks, but it's not a bad thing. So, let your life show God's light. Amen? I want to share with you two things that we all need, at least two things. These are the important things that I think we need to be able to evangelize as comfortable as possible. So the first thing is we need love. And I know this is, you'd be like, every answer in the Bible is love, right? Well, it should be, because God is love. And we follow God, so we need love, right? But listen to what this verse says. And this is one of my favorite five-word verses in the Bible. For Christ's love compels us. Christ gave us so much love that we cannot sit still and do nothing. But what I recently noticed and what I usually miss reading out this verse is we don't read what's before it and we don't see the context. And in verse 11,
Can I go back?
It's quality.
Oh. Okay. So in verse 11 it says, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. It's basically talking about evangelism. And it's saying, we know what it is to live this life, we persuade others. We know what it is to have God in our life, so we tell others about it. Why? Because Christ's love compels us. And this is the beauty of it. In another verse, and this is also great, I always remember this and I always visualize this happening. When he came near the place where the road goes down from the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they have seen. Right? We have seen miracles, we also praise God. They said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in the heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And this is the verse I love. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And this is what I love about this verse. And I always imagine like random things start screaming, Jesus is Lord and God is the blessed one. And it's amazing. And this basically says you cannot keep quiet about what God has done for you. Right? Imagine with me a boyfriend or a husband gets his wife flowers or a necklace. She goes and tells her friends for 5-10 hours, oh, look what my husband got me, look what my boyfriend got me, right? When she feels loved, she goes and tells everyone about it, right? Now imagine someone died for you. Right? Imagine someone who's giving you all these blessings that you have. Imagine someone who has made miracles in your lives, who has changed so many aspects of your lives, who has turned you from destruction and given you a path of life. How can you keep quiet about that kind of love? Right? This is basically what it's saying. The disciples were filled with the act of love that God has done for them, for the blessings in their lives, and they couldn't keep quiet anymore. They had to speak out. And I'm so grateful that we did the series Love God, Love Your Brothers and Sisters, and then Love the Lost. Because I don't think you can do any of those without the others, right? Basically, now we're talking about loving the lost. And in the verses, we're also talking about loving God. If we don't have the love of God in us, we cannot tell people about it, right? We would be hypocrites. And people will see that. If we don't have the love of God, it's not easy to love your brothers and sisters, because we don't have the love in us. And that's why it's so important that we started this series in the way that we started it. Whoever claims, and this is the second point that we did, loving your brothers and sisters, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Right? We are hypocrites. We are lying if we say we have the love of God in us, yet we fail to love each other. And if we can't love each other, the people who are closest to us and we trust most, how can we love people who we don't know? Right? Who we've never met, who never did anything good to us. Right? We might love each other because we do good to each other. But if people never did, how can you pray to the ones who hurt you and love the ones who betray you and curse you if we don't have the love of God in us? Right? But let's talk about how Jesus had love for the lost. And this should inspire us. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. You remember what happened? That he did this? So John the Baptist was beheaded, right? John the Baptist, his cousin, one of the closest people to Jesus, just died. So he was feeling really heavy. He wanted some alone time, right, with God. He was feeling really stressed, really pressured. He wanted to go to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowd followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Look at the difference between Jesus and the disciples. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away." Jesus was sad and he wanted to pray and spend time alone. But then he saw the needs of the people. He felt compassion. The disciples saw their needs. "It's getting late. Send them away. We want to eat and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Jesus is just showing you what to do. And in the same minute, you forget to have compassion on the people as Jesus just showed you how to do it. This is something that stuns me. And I see how weak we are as humans to not imitate Jesus. Because this just happened in front of the disciples' eyes. Physical Jesus, right in front of them, is showing you compassion. Imagine Jesus right now here, showing you compassion. The next minute, you forget how to show compassion. And this is why I know that we should cling so close to God so we can be able to have compassion on people. But what a beautiful scene that Jesus puts us. He puts his troubles aside. He puts his worries aside. He puts his pain aside to show compassion to the people. Also, one of my favorite verses that Jesus, a very short verse, "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it." Can you imagine Jesus crying? How many times have you looked at people and said, "I wish they knew God"? And maybe in your hearts you wept. How many times you looked at people and said, "I wish they knew God so that their lives can be changed, so that their hurts can go away, so that the pain can be released, so that they can feel this peace that I have, so they can feel the joy that I have"? And just like the video that we saw, if you don't take that step, that person might lose out on knowing God. And that is why the sermon is called Now or Never. Every time you see someone is an opportunity for you to tell the person about the treasures that you have, about the blessings that you have, about how God changed your life. Not because you want them to come to church. No, because you want to save their soul, because you have compassion on them. And yeah, I can think of my life and say, right now, my mom is my top priority. And every time, she's the one that I most pray for. God, please let the word penetrate her heart. Let the word... Yeah, she had a tough life. So for her, she wants to enjoy life. And when it's funny, when my pastor says, "Come on, when are you going to give God a chance?" And this is the answer she gives. "I don't think I'm good enough to come to God now. And I want to be good before I come to God." So many people don't know how God works. God doesn't want you to come when you're good. God wants you when you're at your lowest so he can help you, right? God wants you when you're suffering, when you call out for him, because that's when you allow God to work in your life. If you're saying, "I am strong," you will never need God. But it's when we are weak that we need God. So this is the first point. We need love to show love for the lost. We need love to show love for the lost. The second point, no excuses. And I personally put a lot of excuses. One of them is, "I don't have time." One of them is, "I'm really tired." Another thing is, "I don't know what to say." So many excuses we can put, right? You could tell me that you just had a 12-hour shift and you feel so tired. And it would seem that it's very reasonable, right? That you are tired and I feel you. But if we go back to what Jesus was going through, we would be challenged, wouldn't we? His own cousin was just killed and he wanted time for himself. But when he saw the people who are suffering, no, I need to show compassion to them. And this is why it's so beautiful what Jesus did. He showed that there are no excuses to help people. Even your own life is not an excuse to help people. We all know the verse that says, put others before yourself. Right? Treat others higher than yourself. And that is the standard what Jesus calls us to. It's not easy. I'm not telling you this as easy as you hear me telling you. It's not as easy as I'm saying it. It takes a lot of work to be committed, to stay close to God. But if we are, we will have the power to put others' needs before ourselves. And that is the beauty of living a follower of Jesus. And this is also like a nice story, the Samaritan, the guy who helped the other. And it says, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed to the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on to the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him, compassion. He went to him, bandaged his wound, pouring in oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. We don't know what the excuse was for the priest or the Levite. Okay? I mean, imagine a pastor going to church. He might say, I might be late to church. I need to go. I can't help him right now. This might be an excuse. He might be saying, I'm wearing new clothes. I don't want them to get dirty. It might be an excuse. Right? But what it shows is he had lack of love. And the other guy, he put no excuses. He might not have money, but he took care of him and he put extra money. He might not have time. He might be going to work. But he put him on a donkey and took him. All I'm saying is, a lot of times we put excuses. I put excuses to how we can help people. And if we have the love of God in us, then no excuse can triumph that thing. And so, from the video that we watched, I want to inspire you to take every chance that we find. Okay? It's not about just having people come to the church. It's about showing people the love of God. So they can see the blessings, they can see the peace, they can see the joy that we have, and they would be really challenged to accept God. And that is the whole point of the last commandment that Jesus gave, right? Go into the world and tell them about me. Show compassion to the people. I know in Germany things get busy, and this is every time what I hear, like, things are so busy here in Germany and we have a lot of job and traveling and everything. It's the same everywhere. That's what I noticed. It's the same in Lebanon, it's the same in America. Everywhere you go, everyone tells you it's busy. Right? So what I concluded is, you will never find a place that's not busy. So let's not complain about busyness anymore. I noticed that, yeah, everywhere we go, we find different excuses, right? I heard from someone here that, oh, in Germany it's a bit different because not everyone believes in God, so it's not easy to talk to them. Then when people come to Lebanon, I say, oh, in Lebanon it's different. Because a lot of people believe in different types of Christianity. And then you go to a different country and they say, oh, here it's different because this and this and this. Right? So everywhere you go, you will find an excuse. But God is calling you, just go and show them. If you don't know what to do, just show them your life. If you don't know what to talk about, show them your life. That's enough. Be the light that the world has to offer. You know, what's the nice thing about the light? If you put it in a dark place, that's the only thing they can see. If you're the only light in your work, people will notice you. If you're the only light in your university, people will notice you. And they will ask why. And that will be your chance. Amen. So again, let's have love, let's put no excuses, and let's change the world. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Narek, for the powerful message. I think it's really something that helps us and should help us. Okay, so switch back to German. Wir haben jetzt unser Vereinstreffen, und da wäre tatsächlich auch wichtig, dass wir, also genau. Währenddessen, während ich noch rede, sammeln wir noch die Sammlung ein. Die Kollekte. Was denn? Das? Ja?